Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process. Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the United Nations International Day for Tolerance. We will discuss the paradox of accepting differences within the framework of principle-centered behavior. We will talk about the difference between making laws and becoming a human in the adult state. Swami will explain the concept of compassion as a state of being. Listen as we discuss the difficulty of being tolerant and not condoning bad behavior. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and initiate your progressive cycle. So Swami, let's begin with the summary statement that we have and say that we will discuss the paradox of accepting differences within the framework of principle-centered behavior. We talked about this before, so what does that look like when we're doing that?
Yeah, the whole thing of being able to see things on many different levels simultaneously, it's one of the reasons why I think the major concept that we want to kind of go over here is the whole thing of becoming a human in the adult state, having a broader sense of awareness, an expanded sense of self. Because on a physical level, we're all different. There aren't any two blades of grass that are the same. There aren't any two snowflakes that are the same. There aren't any two human beings that are the same. But on a spirit level, we're all one. There is no difference. And so everything depends on what level of consciousness, what degree of awareness you're at. Because if you are kind of bound up in your body on a physical level, all you see is differences. Whereas if your identity expands beyond the limits of your body and you align with the part of yourself that is whole and eternal, then of course all you see is the same. And so in the framework of trying to live in the physical world, I think it's really interesting because the whole concept of being tolerant, why do we become intolerant? And what is it that we're intolerant of? Because a lot of it comes down to the conflict between matter and spirit, the whole thing between being indulgent and being completely selfless. And so as a result, we make laws so that we can try and make the physical world something that it's really not capable of doing. It's really not possible to come to a point where everybody's going to be happy all the time. And I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said that you can please all of the people all of the time and some of the people all of the time, but nobody pleases all of the people all of the time. And so, or I think it's you can please all of the people some of the time is actually a better way of saying that. But the whole thing of trying to make all our adjustments in the outside world and the whole thing of, like we talk in Kriya Yoga, this, the whole thing of accepting differences, but then what's the band of allowance that you're going to use with these differences, and how much do you start to include in it? Like, where does behavior start to become unacceptable? And where is it acceptable? And in the framework of doing that, you're creating tolerances. So it does become quite a paradox.
Well, that's interesting, because if we read what the International Day for Tolerance means in regards to the United Nations. Now, they started this back in 1996, and they celebrate it every year on November 16th. But the goal here is, according to WIN Calendar, is that we strive to unite the world through mutual understanding and respect. And then they also say that tolerance refers to the recognition and acceptance of looks, opinions, beliefs, and practices that differ from one's own. What I think is interesting is this next line, where they say tolerance is considered the backbone of human rights and fundamental freedoms, as people are naturally different, which is what you were saying before, no two blades of grass are the same. And then they continue to say that tolerance allows mixed communities to thrive and ensures that all humans are equally important. So I guess it kind of does depend on your own perspective, just like there are no two people that are the same. There's not going to be no two people going to have the same perspective of any given opinion or matter at hand.
Correct. And I think once we understand that part, but the other thing is that we try and make laws that makes it mandatory that you be tolerant, that you be accepting. But then, where do we draw the line? Like, how much cannibalism do you allow? Mm-hmm. Or any other kind of what I would call unacceptable bad behavior. And I think that's a big thing, that when we grow or start to grow psychologically and spiritually, that we start to learn about the human experience, that you need laws to uphold the conduct that you do naturally when you're a human in the adult state. And we spend a lot of time making laws when we should be spending more time creating men and women.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because as part of the International Day for Tolerance, they actually list five different ways that you can counter intolerance. And the first one on the list is fighting intolerance with law. And the second one is fighting intolerance with education, fighting intolerance with access to information, fighting intolerance by individual awareness, and then fighting intolerance with local solutions. So I think fighting intolerance by individual awareness is at least a step in the right direction as far as we're concerned in the Kriya Yoga aspect.
Also fighting intolerance with education.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really believe that most people don't know that we're spirit, or have a sense of the innate drive to become a whole person. And that's one of the things that we always recognize in Kriya Yoga is the whole statement of namaste. Namaste means that I bow to the divinity within you. We're all equally divine. But what we have to recognize is that we're not all equally sensitive or aware of that divinity. And that's what a practice of a good metaphysical or a mystical system does for a human being, is that it actually makes you aware by becoming spirit, by becoming divine, and not just academically or intellectually.
I'm glad you mentioned that about the education, because I have a note here. I'm reading this book. I think I should probably say the book of it so they get the rights to this, but it's a book called The Camel Club, and in it, one of the characters in the book says, in this particular chapter, he says, ignorance and intolerance are like commas. You often find them in pairs, and almost never did you find one, ignorance, without its evil twin, intolerance. So that kind of reminds me of that. I think education is really important because then we try to get rid of ignorance. And isn't that also part of our yamas and niyamas, where we try to overcome ignorance?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, ignorance is one of the four major obstructions, along with fear, selfishness, and laziness. But the whole thing of what it is that we are teaching our children or educating our population with, because I think the thing that's really missing is this process in development. As we start to grow psychologically and spiritually, there is this whole metamorphosis of an individual. When we're in our larvae state and we're preoccupied with the pain, pleasure, control dramas of our physical bodies, then we're emotional, we're excitable. When we're kind of in the chrysalis phase, we're intelligent, we're ambitious, and we're passionate. But as we start to emerge as an adult, we become wise, we become enthusiastic and compassionate. And I think that's a really important thing to understand, that compassion is a position that you earn. And what compassion enables us to do is basically recognize we can be tolerant and accepting, because you know everybody's doing the very best they can with what they know. But you do not have to accept bad behavior. You can still uphold your values and be principle-centered and compassionate, because you know that people that are operating from that level of consciousness are in the realms of suffering and decay. They are struggling, and they're fighting a hard battle. And so you want to reach out to them and educate them in how to liberate themselves from this burden that they're actually, or this pattern that they're stuck in.
It reminds me of all of the, I guess for lack of a better word, hateful messages that are out there online and on Facebook regarding our past presidential election, on both sides of the coin. And so how can we, let's just use that as an example, how can we respond, or how should we respond to somebody who's just being, you know, so incredibly hateful as to the outcome of this election?
Well, just like you said earlier, I mean, you recognize it as ignorance. And of course, with that ignorance comes intolerance. And part of it is that you recognize that these are people that need the outside world to be a particular way for them. Because on an inner level, they feel threatened by external circumstances and situations, and so they're responding as if they're in danger. And their heart's racing, their hands are sweating, and they're basically they're under attack. That is where the compassion comes in. But it's also where you can try and employ this concept of education to teach people, like, what's going on in your inner environment? Why are you responding as if you're in danger when you're not in a real life-threatening situation? And why is it that if you have the benefit of internal support and you're drawing from a different source of sustenance, you're drawing from the realms that are unchanging and permanent, that your inner environment can remain calm and still, and you have a sense of confidence about what's going to happen in the outside world?
Well, I think it's about that time we need to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll return with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami wanted to review what International Day of Tolerance, what their purpose is on this day. And what they try to do is they seek to promote tolerance, respect, appreciation, and cooperation amongst the world's different cultures. So I think a lot of times when we think about intolerance, it's really not just about different cultures, but like we were just talking about, it could just even be something as simple as the political arena. And obviously, I think we all know that one of the most recent and most well-known examples of intolerance was the Holocaust that was during World War II, where religion was not tolerated. So sometimes it's not just a people, but it's a religion. So then this becomes a cultural type of a situation. So in some cultures, they may not understand or have the tolerance for one religion over another, for example. So then how do we go about trying to combat that? And that seems like more like a global kind of a situation.
Well, again, it's going to come back to education. And your information has to go deep, because the first thing that we talk about here is that it's actually our religions that are failing so badly, that our religions are not doing what they were intended to do. And so as a result, people are intolerant of others that don't believe what they believe. And why do you feel threatened by that? And why do you need other people to believe what it is that you believe in? And it all comes down to the simple fact that we're still drawing from a source of sustenance that is limiting and doesn't enable your identity to expand beyond the limits of seeing yourself as separate. Because on a fundamental level, all of the religions are doing the same thing, or should be doing the same thing. All it is a method of educating a person how to separate from their attachment to the forces or resources that are limiting and attach to this part of reality that is expanding and growing. And to be able to internalize that in your physical body produces, that's the religion, that's what we relink to. And it produces a different entity. It produces a person who is now growing psychologically and spiritually. And that's what we were saying. If we were producing men and women, if we were producing humans in the adult state, we wouldn't need the laws. We wouldn't need all of these regulations. But that's the part that's missing. And so that, to me, is where you're going to find your solution, is in education. But your education has to go deep enough. And you have to recognize that religions aren't doing what they were supposed to do. And then once you reformat that community, then you start to produce solution to these problems.
You know, and the information that I received from Win Calendar, they have a statement on here, and it says that xenophobia is the fear or hatred of strangers. It is another word for intolerance. But what I found interesting is that they use the word fear. So could it be just that we talk about in our Kriya Yoga practice that fear is really what drives a lot of people in a lot of different things, to do certain things or say certain things or be a certain way? And I just thought that was really interesting where it says is the fear or hatred of strangers. So is intolerance really a fear-based feeling?
Oh, absolutely, because the person feels threatened.
By something they don't know? Is that what you're saying?
Something that's unknown or mm-hmm. not understood or not familiar with. But the driving force behind it comes from your body, comes from need. And of course, you will respond as if you're in danger. And your heart's racing, your hands are sweating, and you are just completely infuriated. Or, you know, you want to, it's the fight, flight, instinctual response. And you just want to, you have to react to that. And that's where a metaphysical or mystical system like the Kriya Yoga we teach gives people the equipment. It's not just a lot of advice. If you do not develop your psychological organs, if you do not attach yourself to a resource that is calming, then it becomes very difficult to control these feelings. But when you have good instruction and you condition your body to use what it needs, what it really needs to produce the feeling it's okay, then your exchange of energy changes with the outside world. You're not drawing off of it. I don't need the outside world to be anything for me. Then it becomes smaller. Now it's a want. And I don't have to respond as if I'm in danger if I don't get what I don't want. But if I'm not getting what I need, then I respond as if I'm going to die.
Now, when I was going through the research for this show, I had found out the information that in this country alone, there is 939 hate groups in this country. And I think the two most ones that people may know of is the Ku Klux Klan and the neo-Nazis. 939. That is absolutely amazing to me.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, because what percentage of the population are humans in the larvae state?
Good point.
And so when you're dealing with humans that are coming from this limited perspective, they're bound up in their physical bodies, all they know is fear, then they herd up. And misery loves company. Like attracts like. And so you're attaching to the part of reality that is different, and yet you're looking for familiarity in it. Whereas if you realigned yourself with a part of yourself that is eternal and unchanging, and you recognize that same dynamic in all living things, then you would have a completely different perspective. But that's where I say you need religion in order to educate the population, in order to gain this vantage point of becoming a human in the divine state, as opposed to animal or human.
Now, there's a quote that I have from the Dalai Lama, and he says, in the practice of tolerance, one's enemy is the best teacher. Now, I think we said in the last show or a few shows before is that if you feel intimidated or some reason why this other person is making you feel a certain way, then I think I should put the mirror up to your face. Is there something about that person that you find within yourself that you need to pay attention to or that you can learn from? So that quote there, when he says one's enemy is the best teacher, it kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, sure. You know, what surrounds you is within you. And that's what we said. Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Like attracts like. And the whole thing of that what we're putting out is what we're getting back. And one of the things that I always grew up with was the old expression, we offend equally when we take offense as when we give offense. That when you're a human in the adult state, you are responsible for how you think and how you feel. And so you're not blaming somebody for how you feel and how you think. That you're in a position that you can actually deal with differences, and you can deal with people not agreeing with you because you don't need their approval.
Isn't that what we always say, is that this need for approval is what drives a lot of people to do and say certain things?
Absolutely, and it becomes your biggest barrier to becoming an individual. And most people today are making their decisions based on what they think other people want them to do, rather than becoming right for themselves. And that's where these points of passage that were laid out in religious communities with their rites of passage, they were systems that enabled a person to become an individual because you had the benefit of internal support and you were no longer seeking external reinforcement. But what's really interesting is you see how simple the whole thing is when you unbox it and you look at it and you can see how it has spiraled out into these concentric circles. That something as simple as operating from infantile defense mechanisms becomes why there are 900 plus hate groups in the United States alone. And it all comes down to the simple fact that we're ignorant.
We don't have the education, you mean? We're not educated in how to be what you would say humans in the adult state. We don't want to be... We need to not be caterpillars, right? We want to try to be butterflies. Absolutely.
Sure. And look at the difference, the caterpillar and the butterfly. The butterfly has options that the caterpillar doesn't. Butterflies can do things that caterpillars can't. Like fly, access another dimension of reality, navigate through it. Humans in the adult state have the ability to access the invisible world, the intangible world, and utilize it as a resource of energy.
I like what you said earlier about we need to like take the responsibility, each person, in making these kinds of changes. You know that there's something to be aware of, and understanding that the same source that's animating you is animating me. And I think that's really important. And I think it's almost about that time we have to start closing down our program. So I would like to invite you listeners out there to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can post questions about this show or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to do. But keep those comments, questions, curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, Kriya Yoga style. So any final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to ask everybody to be very tolerant of our concepts and positions here. If you do find them offensive, it is definitely not our intention. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste, and I'll give it back to you.
And I want to thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.